May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We continue with our reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And I just kind of noticed something. I'm usually not a big fan of the Pauline epistles. There are some things in there I'm just like, I don't like that Paul says. And I never thought that when I actually ended up having to preach, that I would end up preaching Paul more than the Gospels. But of course, if you paid attention to the Gospel readings for the past few weeks, they've all been about Jesus saying, I am the bread, I am the bread, I am the bread. And those are really good texts to preach on when you're having Eucharist. And since we don't have a priest right now, we're not having Eucharist, which means it would feel odd for me to preach on a Eucharistic text without the Eucharist. I'm probably getting in trouble for saying this on a recording. I listened to this reading today, and sort of Jesus is having a controversy with the apostles, and if I preached, with the Pharisees, and if I preached this, I would probably title my sermon, and Jesus said, bite me. Okay. Because he kind of is. He's saying, eat my flesh, you know, taste of me. So I'm going to avoid a sermon titled, and Jesus said, bite me, and instead talk about making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And today, you probably noticed we've been making some noise, some singing. And Paul's letter to the Ephesians is advice telling the Ephesian community on how to live a holy life by making a joyful noise. Specifically, Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that was a really appropriate selection considering what's going on right now in our church right now. Because a significant component of our morning prayer service, if you haven't noticed, is fulfilling Paul's advice to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's a lot of what morning prayer is. It's a lot of singing. And when Billy's not here and Amber's not here and Billy's not there to operate that, I regret having had us pick so many songs. Because it is hard to keep up with all of those. I don't know how he does it. Now, I frequently like to joke that, you know, Scripture says in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Scripture tells us to do that. Make a joyful noise. I am so glad it doesn't say beautiful music, because if you really listen to me back there, it is definitely joyful, but it's also definitely noise, not melodious singing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Paul also kind of advises, you know, sing psalms. And one of my not-so-favorite people from church history, some of you have listened to me complain about St. Augustine. I'm not a fan of St. Augustine. However, there is a saying attributed to St. Augustine, the 5th century bishop from this little town called Hippo in northern Africa. Brilliant theologian. He just has some ideas that I don't agree with. But this is one that I do like, that is attributed to him. You can't really prove he actually said it. The one who sings prays twice. Kind of like that. I mean, Paul can say some good things, so can Augustine. The one who sings prays twice. Lifting our voice in holy song also lifts up our hearts and our minds to God in a special form of prayer. Some may say, as I often say, I am unable to sing. And what they may mean is I'm unable to sing in a beautiful, melodious way of singing. But there's also a wonderful African proverb that I put up in my classroom when I taught when in high school. And it's something I kept stressing with my students all the time, because we would have services, it was a Catholic school. We would have monthly, we would have a mass at church, a church service at the school. And the kids wouldn't sing. They would just sit there, like bumps on a log. So I got this poster, and it's an African proverb. If you can walk, you can dance. If you can talk, you can sing. I kind of like that. If you can walk, you can dance. If you can talk, you can sing. God gave us these voices. So it's God's fault if they're not particularly melodious all the time. A And so let's make him put up with our singing. You know? It's his fault. In our prayer service, morning prayer, a central portion of the morning prayer service are psalms. Now, the psalms are an ancient music book. They are songs, and they are intended to be sung. And these are songs that have been passed down for almost 3,000 years. I saw someone go, oh. Really, when you think about it, these psalms are 3,000 years old, and we're still singing these. During the 4th century, some groups of Christians, they decided to pull away from society and live out into the deserted areas. They'd go out to the deserts outside of Syria, out to the deserts outside of Egypt, and they lived in solitary, kind of isolated places. And these become our monks that we talk about today. Some of these Christians that moved out there, throughout the day, they would sing all 150 psalms as they went about their daily labor. Yeah. And they make it even more interesting, they would sing all 150 psalms from memory. They had them all committed to memory. This developed over time into what we now have as the Liturgy of the Hours. Morning prayer, evening prayer, noonday prayer, compline or night prayer. When we sing the psalms, and notice we have been singing them recently. That's one of the things that I really have been wanting us to do for a while and finally had the chance to slip it in. We notice we've been singing them quite frequently. We are actually joining our voices to 3 millennia of sung prayer to God. Really, when you think about it, that's kind of cool. We're joining with 3 millennia worth of praise using these words. Now, the hymns, the tunes that these psalms were originally sung to, we don't really know. Some people have tried to reconstruct the tunes of the psalms as they were originally written. If we could, that would be meaningless to us because the psalms were originally written in Hebrew. And so we would have to be singing these in Hebrew, which we don't do, do we? No, I took Hebrew. I don't remember much of it at all. I know shalom, peace, welcome, hello. These texts were eventually translated into Latin, and they were sung in Latin. And we do have some of those tunes available to us. We've heard of Gregorian chant. This is a style of singing that became very popular sometime around the 9th century. It still continues to be popular today. And if you go to some churches and monasteries, in fact, I kind of love going up to a couple places that still do some Gregorian chant, actually chant the Psalms. It's a beautiful form of prayer. And there's even some top-selling CDs out there. You can go into a CD shop. Of course, who buys CDs anymore? But, you know, you can go into a CD shop and buy one. One of the most popular ones, they really became really popular, was the Benedictine monks of Santo Domingo de Silos, a place in Spain. They were really one of the first communities that kind of popularized Gregorian chant on CDs. Beautiful music. If you haven't ever heard it before, I would encourage you to go on the internet, do a search, Gregorian chant on YouTube. You can find some beautiful examples. In the Episcopal Church, we also have a tradition of chanting. It's called Anglican chant. And Anglican chant is a particular way of chanting the Psalms and chanting the liturgy in a kind of a toned chant. It's not really that easy to do, but if you go to some really good large churches and some big cathedrals, you can sometimes attend a choral evensong service. And if you have never had the opportunity to attend a choral evensong or a choral Eucharist, it is an amazing experience. I do kind of have one critique of it, the fact that sometimes in these services there are some huge choirs, beautiful choirs, and sometimes it feels like you're attending a concert or a performance rather than worship. But, you know, it still is a wonderful experience. I highly encourage you to do that. Now, I would love us to be able to do Gregorian chant. And I saw a couple, some people going, and a couple of people going, I would love us to do Anglican chant. We could probably learn some Anglican chant over time. But we've been doing our psalms, and we've been doing them in a form that is called metrical singing. what someone has done, because the Psalms are a translation from Hebrew into English, somebody has sat down, and the traditional translations that we have really can't be set to song. Because when you translate something, sometimes the rhythm of the words get knocked out of whack. Sometimes they'll have 25 syllables in a sentence. Sometimes they'll have 4 syllables in a sentence, and it's hard to line up to a song. So what someone's done is they've retranslated and they've kind of massaged the text of the Psalms and some of the canticles from Scripture, some of the other song texts from Scripture, and set them to song tunes with which we're mostly familiar. Notice how I phrased that. Some of these tunes are hymn tunes that we've sung before sometimes. Sometimes we haven't. And so we've been using these in order to kind of jazz up a little bit our services. And one of my friends who does listen to the sermon, hello David, he had a dream the other night that he was placed as a pastor of a church where they were singing music in church, except for him, they were all blues tunes. Okay? Well, that's kind of the idea here. We're taking the music, the words, these sacred texts, and we're setting them to tunes with which we are relatively familiar and that are relatively singable. And so we've been trying to do that to allow us to actually join into that history, that tradition of singing the Psalms and lifting our voice up in prayer. Sometimes those tunes don't always work. We've noticed a few of those. We're giving them a try. The goal, however, is to enhance our worship and to allow us to follow Paul's advice to sing psalms, to sing hymns, and to sing spiritual songs more effectively in our worship here at St. John's. One of the joys of sung psalms, hymns, and other music is that there is a strong connection between music and memory. We've had this experience. You get a song in your head and you just can't get it out. We call it like an earbud. And it will be stuck in your head and just keep coming back up and almost driving you crazy. Well, that's one of the nice things about singing these hymns and the Psalms, is while we sing these hymns and these songs continually and repetitively in our worship, hopefully they become ingrained into our subconscious lives. And as we're walking along, we'll catch ourselves humming one of these tunes, and the words will come into our minds, and they will rise up into our hearts. That was what the desert monks were trying to do. By continuously praying the 150 Psalms, memorizing them, and singing them, it was so they could actually become embodied with these Psalms and be singing them even when they weren't aware of it, to have that sort of a constant buzz in their background. When it comes to the songs here that we're doing, the singing of the Psalms to these tunes, I'd encourage you, join in and sing joyously. Yeah, a couple times we don't know the tune. I mean, I saw Gaynell looking at me during the canticle going, when did we start? Because that sometimes if it's an unfamiliar tune, we're going through the very first verse of it once just by the music so we can hear it and maybe kind of pick up on the tune. So while you're hearing that, if you don't hear Billy or Amber or, oh heavens, I forgot you. Audrey. I get going and I forget things. Or if you don't hear them pick up the song, just listen to the tune and kind of follow the words and try to get the feel of them. And then sing through. Join into that singing. Sing powerfully. Also, in addition to singing, putting our whole selves into it, listen to the people around you. One of the things that I've loved whenever I go, and Gaynell say, don't listen to me. I see that look and it's like, you're in headlights. But no, listen to people around you. One of the pieces of advice, if you go to one of the monasteries, like if you go up to Gethsemane up in Bardstown, Kentucky, if you go up to Transfiguration up in Cincinnati, you go in there, one of the things they will frequently tell visitors is, it's okay to sing along with us. They're fine with that. But the only key is sing softly enough that you can hear the person next to you. Because the goal of our worship and singing of music is not to make it a solo performance. This is not about, you know, look how great I can sing. Trust me, you don't want some of us doing that. It is about joining in corporate singing and prayer together. And together, our voices being lifted up to God and celebrating all the wonderful things God has done for us. Also, if you keep your voice just at that point that you can hear your neighbor, kind of put some pressure on your neighbor to sing. Because then if you don't hear them singing, you can go, Elmer, don't hear you. I'm singing so softly, I can't hear it. Come on, bud, join in. It does put pressure there. Our worship is a communal experience. So as we continue with our worship today, as we go into the portion of the service called the prayers, we'll have some more songs coming up, but even as we go in 2 more weeks, we're going to have a morning prayer service. Next week is going to be Eucharist. But as we go into that, be mindful of your singing. Pour yourself into it. Be listening and singing joyfully, even if it is, like mine, a joyful noise. Lift up your hearts. Because one of the goals of our experience here is what Paul wants his community to do. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. By lifting up our voices, joining our hearts together, and opening ourselves and pouring ourselves out in music, God will also pour himself into us, and we will be filled. Amen.